What is up, everybody, and welcome to Mulling It Over. I'm your host, Blake Mullen. He came back, the man himself, Jesse Crittenden, the GOAT. How are you doing today, man?
That's very kind of you to say, man. All right, this episode will probably be out tomorrow, but tonight I'm preparing for another Thunder game. I was at the game on Sunday preparing for tonight's game, hoping the Thunder go up 2-0. It took my voice like 2 days to recover from Sunday, so I'm hoping it takes me a full week this time. That's what I'm hoping. That's the kind of energy I'm bringing tonight.
And just so the listeners know, Jesse and I made a friendly wager before the podcast. If the Pelicans win tonight, he has to have a pelican tattooed on his forehead. He agreed to it.
I don't remember saying that. I'm thinking the Thunder are going to sweep. I'm thinking the Thunder are going to sweep everything to the title, but I don't know if I feel that confident. What happens if the Thunder win? Since we're doing this wager,
you get to be happy. It's your happiness versus a tattoo. It's a pretty good. It's a good odds on bet. I mean, the Thunder are what, 8.5-point favorites. So these are about the live odds. You get a tattoo, or you get to harass me for not being a Thunder fan. I mean, either way, you win. You'll get a sick tattoo out of it.
That doesn't feel like a fair wager to me. We'll come up with something.
You know, we can just let the listeners decide. If you think Jesse should have to get a tattoo, just put it in the comments, please. And if you're not already on the OU Insider YouTube, be sure to click that subscribe button. Also check out the website OUinsider.com. We have the best news. We have Brody, who's absolutely killing it right now in the basketball scene. Jesse's killing it with softball. I'm dabbling in some baseball, and the entire team, I mean, the recruiting trail, Parker and Brandon, you're not going to find better. Be sure to go click that subscribe button. Check out the website. It's about $10 a month. You want the best intel. You want to know what's going on. We don't hold anything back. Be sure to go check it out, OUinsider.com. But, Jesse, let's get into it. The spring game was this weekend. I'm not sure if you knew about it, but it was this weekend. We were both there, jokes aside. And Jackson Arnold, this was his game where, I mean, obviously there was the Alamo Bowl, but this was the game where we all knew as he was running onto the field, it's his team. I thought he looked good. He obviously had the two big touchdowns at Deion Burks, and I thought he looked calm. I mean, the numbers were there. He had a pretty impressive game. He looked fast in the pocket. He looked a lot better in the pocket, stepping up, making reads. Took care of the ball. I mean, I thought OU fans saw exactly what they needed to see. What did you think, though?
Yeah, I mean, I would say I think for the most part it was an optimistic show of progress. And you know, it's the spring game. I think it's hard to know exactly how much stock to put into certain things most of the time. But I said going into it, I think you just wanted to see him be a little bit more decisive than he was in that Alamo Bowl. You wanted to see him make better decisions with the ball than he did in San Antonio. And I think for the most part, you saw that. I mean, he went 10 for 20 on passing attempts, so it wasn't a perfect day. And I think you saw him miss a couple of throws. I think you saw him, you know, there were, I think, a couple of throws that he wanted to have back. And I think there were a couple of times he could have made some slightly quicker decisions. But I think overall, I agree with you. I think you saw more confidence in the pocket. I think you saw him be a little bit more poised. And I think the thing that really stands out, and I think the thing that you can take stock or that you can put stock into is his connection with Deion Burks. I think that was, I mean, I was pushing the Deion Burks hype train even before the spring started. I thought he could come in and immediately step into that Drake Stoops role and not only fill that role, but bring his own unique abilities to it, his speed, his quickness, his ability to not only work in the short areas of the field, but also go deep. And we saw that even with him lining up in the slot. We saw him go deep a bunch. We saw that connection with Jackson Arnold that's been growing throughout the spring. And I think that's the key thing with the injuries that wide receiver room has. Who's going to develop that connection with Jackson Arnold? And Jackson clearly looked to him early and often. I mean, Deion Burks accounted for like 170 of his 230 yards. So I think it's clear Jackson already has a kind of safety blanket in Deion. And I think if nothing else, that's what you want to see in a young quarterback is have guys that he can trust. And that's what we saw. So I think ultimately it's the spring. Don't want to put all kinds of stock into it, but I think you did see him have a little bit more command of the offense. You see him developing maybe who's going to be his number one guy. And I think you saw his gunslinger mentality. That I think that's the stuff you wanted to see. And I think we saw that.
And, you know, you just touched on it. A lot of people, they sort of ignore an obvious thing. And people will say Drake Stoops, wide receiver one last season. How are the Sooners going to recover from that? Drake Stoops was Dylan Gabriel's wide receiver number one. It's not like Jackson Arnold lost his best friend out there. Jackson Arnold comes in with a clean slate, right? And Deion Burke steps in with Andrell Anthony and Nick Anderson both out. He's made the most of the opportunity. So I have to ask, do you think, fast forwarding, I guess, to, let's say, after the Red River rivalry, about six games into the season, will Deion Burks be leading the team in receiving yards?
It's funny you put that cut off, which I know it's halfway through the year, but at that time last year, it was Andrell Anthony leading the
that's
team
what I'm
in
asking.
Receiving.
Yeah.
But that's a good point, because I think, I mean, obviously I was a wide receiver, a really good wide receiver can be productive in any context, but it is important, a connection with the quarterback. That actually has a lot to do, I think, more than some people realize, with how successful a wide receiver can be is their connection with the quarterback. This spring was interesting for that wide receiver room, because you mentioned, I mean, Nick Anderson missed most of it, or he was a limited participant in most of it. Jahlil Farouk obviously suffered the knee injury towards the second half of the year. Andrell Anthony is still nursing that knee or that injury, that he probably won't be back till the fall. So all that being said, it was kind of the perfect opportunity for Deion Burks to not only seize that slot receiver role, but to kind of establish himself as the main guy in the offense. And it was also a big opportunity for someone like Jaden Gibson to kind of establish himself in the offense too. I think the wide receiver room is interesting, because I think you legitimately have five or six guys who deserve first string reps, and there's just not going to be enough snaps for everybody to get that kind of, to get those kind of snaps, which is why I think that is even more beneficial for someone like Deion Burks, because he automatically has that slot receiver role. He's the number one guy there. The injuries outside of it, or all the other injuries, don't really affect that. And it's clear with his skill set and his ability, again, to be a security blanket in the short areas of the field, but to also go deep. His ability to go deep lines up perfectly with what Jackson Arnold wants to do. I think Jackson Arnold, his potential and the pinnacle of what he can bring in this offense is not being afraid to go deep. It's not being afraid to go long, to throw kind of calculated risk type passes. And that's what, I mean, we saw Deion Burks have the 64 yarder. We saw him have the 50 yarder. Both of those were touchdowns. I think that plays perfectly into what Jackson Arnold wants to do. So I think we're already seeing the building blocks, because of the injuries and all that other stuff, of Deion Burks establishing himself in the offense. But considering his skill set matches up perfectly with Jackson Arnold and what he wants to do, yeah, I think if you're asking me to be a betting man, I would wager Deion Burks is the number one option in this offense, and I think he'll be the number one guy in terms of both receptions and catches after the Red River rivalry. That's what
you're
I'll
doubling
say.
Down, not I just am. Yards, but I like it.
What
I
about
like
hot
it.
Takes.
I mean, I'm honestly there with you. I think that is a very easy argument to make, especially after the spring game. I can't really sit here and be like, no, you're wrong, Deion Burks isn't. We just watched the game he played. And I mean, with what you were saying about the slot receiver, this isn't anything to discredit Drake Stoops in the slightest. But even Brent was talking about it in his post game. They now have a slot receiver who isn't, you know, Drake Stoops was incredible, right? From 1 to about 15 yards. Deion Burks is incredible from 1 to 60 yards. And they now have that guy who not only can run a tremendous route tree, but he can also take the top off the defense. That wide receiver room is just, it's loaded. I feel like every time somebody gives me a mic, I talk about it. Talk about how it's one of the best, if not the best in the nation. Every time they step on the field, it's going to continue to prove me right. I am very confident in that. But let's talk about another room that's loaded. We saw Caleb Hicks. He led the team in rushing yards during the spring game. We also saw a lot of Sam Franklin and some Gavin Saulchuk. No Javonte Barnes in this one. They wanted to give the new faces some time to play, is what they were saying. What I saw, yeah, I saw that. What are your thoughts, though, on this running back room? Who is going to be the guy, and what did we learn from it?
At the top, it doesn't. Gavin Saulchuk is going to be the guy. And that's why, I mean, I think it made sense for him in the spring game not to run him a bunch, because he's going to be the number one guy. He's earned that with the way he ended the season last year. Obviously, I think six games to end the year with over 100 yards. He was averaging nearly 6 yards a carry. He's the only guy in that room that has the experience that he has on the field, not only on the field, but in a Sooner uniform. He's entering his third year. It's going to be Gavin Saulchuk. But now the conversation about who's the number two guy is a lot different, to be honest with you, than I thought it was, where I thought it was going to be heading into the spring. I thought, not that Javonte Barnes had it locked up, but I thought if he's healthy, he's a prime number two guy. With what we saw his freshman year running behind Eric Gray, he averaged nearly 5 yards a carry. He was great in that Cheez-It Bowl. He's entering his third season. I've said this a million times. People are going to be tired of hearing me say this, but it's easy to forget how much hype there was about him heading into last year. I think a lot of people, including myself, expected him to be the number one guy with Sawchuk as the number two. That didn't happen for a lot of reasons, mainly his health. So I'm thinking if he's healthy, he's going to be the number two guy. I'll be honest with you. I don't buy the idea that they just wanted to give other guys snaps, because to me, Barnes barely saw the field last year. He's finally healthy. He was running as the number two guy during the spring. The spring game is where you give him snaps. It's where you get, it's a prime opportunity to get him comfortable after he missed so much of last year. And that didn't happen. So I'm now looking at that situation a lot differently, not to mention that Caleb Hicks is a guy that really emerged during the spring. We barely saw him last year just as a freshman, but he's clearly added muscle. He looks more explosive, a lot more explosive. I think he stood out more in the open practices I got to see. And he was a name I heard a billion times talking to people as a guy that really emerged. So now all of a sudden my thought process is it going to be Caleb Hicks as the number two guy? And Sam Franklin looked good too. I think I'm not saying he's not in the mix, and we're not even talking about Amika Megwa or Xavier Robinson or Taylor Tatum, but I think Caleb Hicks now all of a sudden is, not all of a sudden, it's been building during the spring, but all of a sudden now he's a guy that I think you have to really take seriously for that number two spot. And I think the spring game solidified that. And now it's about what's going on with Javonte Barnes. Is there any speculation about his future and what's his role going to be for this team if he stays? But either way, it's Sawchuk, and now it's about what's going to happen with that number two spot.
They have a very crowded backfield, to say the very least. I mean, just to completely understate it, it is very crowded. It is very crowded. Like you said, I'm right there with you. It will be Gavin Sawchuk. It will be the Sawchuk show. But after that, I think, will it be a, I don't think it'll be a 1A, 1B type of deal, but who will be 2A, who will be 2B, right? I'm with you. I think it'll be Caleb Hicks. I think Javonte Barnes, I have been a Javonte Barnes apologist right there with you. I think injuries kind of derailed last season. I think we need to remember what he did just 2 years ago. That running back is still there, and if anything, he's probably gotten better since those moments. I think it's hard to rule him out. It's just now a deal of, like you said, it's kind of weird that he didn't get a play because he needs the reps. He needs to get his feet back under him. The only time we've seen him play is being injured and then the Cheez-It Bowl, like you said. So it's just a really interesting deal. Why wasn't that the Javonte Barnes showcase, right? Why wasn't it Javonte Barnes in the mix with Caleb Hicks and Sam Franklin? It's a weird deal. I still believe that Javonte Barnes will be a part of this offense. How big is that piece? I don't really know. But I do still think he will see a decent amount of run in the season. But I'm with you. I think it's Caleb Hicks. I think it is his job as the backup to lose. I think he is the clear number two right now. But with that being said, it's April. Season doesn't start till late August. I mean, there is a lot of time. As you said, it seemed like, oh, it was going to clearly be Sawchuk Barnes. Now it's Sawchuk Hicks. That can easily switch again to Sawchuk Franklin or Sawchuk Tatum or Sawchuk Barnes. There's a lot of options in that backfield. And the best thing for DeMarco Murray and company is that they're all pretty unique. None of them really are too similar. I mean, they all play a different way. Sam Franklin, he's kind of more of your home run guy. That's what he said. He likes playing the slot. He likes being a Swiss Army knife. He's an interesting running back. Caleb Hicks, similar to that. Javonte Barnes, more of a north-south. They're all different in their own ways, and I think that's a great setup for DeMarco Murray and company. I wanted to get to the offensive line, but we have some transfer news. Everybody already knows about it, so we'll get to them a little bit later. Let's switch over to the defense, the other side of the ball here. Thick Sooners recorded a sack. The secondary had some new faces. Linebackers, we saw some new faces as well. Who stood out to you, and who do you think after the spring game kind of can walk away from that one saying, you know what, I think this game might have solidified at least through the summer, me being in the starting unit or getting more reps.
I think Grayson Halton is the guy that really fits that to a T. He was a guy that really emerged this spring almost more than anybody else on the defensive line, not just interior, but the ends too. And Grayson Halton's an interesting guy that he was a former consensus four-star guy. He's entering his third season, but his first 2 years, he barely played. I think he played like 165 snaps total the first 2 years. He played like 90 last year. So there was kind of that feeling of, is this not only is this the year he's going to put it together, but this kind of has to be the year that he puts it together with everything that OU is losing. You're losing Jordan Kelly and Isaiah Coe and Jonah Laulu. Jacob Lacey had to medically retire. OU desperately needs guys to step up. Grayson Halton was one of the most impressive guys on either side of the ball through the spring. And I think we saw that in the spring game. He was constantly in the backfield. He was going up against the second string offensive line that didn't look great. They struggled quite a bit for the most part. But Grayson Halton looked really good. And I think that was exactly what you wanted to see, especially because Dejon Terry didn't play. And that room outside of Terry and Halton is really young. A lot of first and second year guys. So I think Grayson Halton, yes, there's a long ways to go, but I think Grayson Halton is really emerging as a guy that not only could start, but play a lot of snaps. And I think we saw that at the spring game. I think outside of that, I think you had to like what you saw from Jaden Jackson and David Stone, guys that look noticeably bigger than they did before the spring. Brent Venables said after the game, they both clocked in at 300 or over 300 pounds right before the spring game. They just look, they don't look like freshmen, man. And you saw that at the spring game. I think Jaden Jackson looks like a vet. And I think you had to like how disruptive they were. I thought there were good moments from PJ Adibawara. I thought R. Mason Thomas had some good moments. Michael Boganowski in the secondary, it didn't get the memo that it was the spring game. He was trying to knock everybody's head off. And while that's not always great for the spring game, I think you saw the linebacker roots that he has. And also if he can combine that with his skills as a safety, how exciting that could be. So overall, I thought there were more things to take away offensively than there were defensively, but there's a lot of guys that are emerging defensively. I think that linebacker spot next to Danny Stutzman is going to continue to be a thing to watch. Is it going to be Lewis Carter? Is it going to be Desan McCullough? Is it going to be Samuel Omosigo? Where is Jaron Kanick and Kip Lewis and Kobe McKenzie work? You know, how do they fit in the mix? So all that said, I was really looking at the defensive line, and I thought Grayson Halton was the guy that really stood out.
Yeah, I want to go with the guy who you just said, did he not know it was a spring game? Michael Boganowski, I mean, talk about violence. I said that to Parker after the game. He is violent. I mean, that's the spring game. What's he going to do to teams in the regular season? That was so much fun to see both he and Reggie Powers. I thought played very, very well. And I mean, overall, this entire defense, it obviously they were missing quite a few starters. And I've seen some people say, oh, they gave up a lot of touchdowns. It's spring game. Nobody was really going 100%. With that being said, I was very impressed from top to bottom. From the defensive line, PJ, like you said, the only player on the team with two sacks. He's so fast. He is so fast. R. Mason Thomas looked great. Grayson Halton, he should have had two sacks and one drive. Still makes him mad he didn't get the other one recorded. He did have the one tackle for loss as well as a sack. I mean, the defense looks very stout. The defense looks very stout. The linebacking room, that's the one that's going to be very interesting to watch. As you said, will it be Desan McCullough? Who will get the start? Will it be Kip Lewis, Lewis Carter? We don't really know. Kobe McKenzie, I thought, played very well. It's going to be very interesting to see what happens there. But I think there was some news this past weekend after the spring game that might have shifted it. What happened with transfers and who's going to make an impact?
Yeah, so I think Justin Harrington heading into the portal was pretty interesting and definitely a little unexpected, because I think he was a guy, obviously he started at Cheetah to begin last year. And I think it looked like it was going to be his breakout season last year before he got hurt. And we got to talk to him at the start of spring, and it looked like he was fully in and going to be in the mix for that Cheetah position. So him hitting the portal the day before the spring game was pretty interesting, but now that puts the focus on some of those other guys that have been playing Cheetah, whether that's Kendall Dolby or Samuel Masigo, Desan McCullough, Peyton Bowen, a lot of guys that could be in the mix there. So that's going to be interesting. I think the one that everyone's going to be talking about is Branson Hickman on that offensive line. The OU, one thing that was clear, not only going into the spring, but after that spring game, is I'm more optimistic about the offensive line than some, at least that potential starting group. Because I thought Josh Bates looked really good at center. I think Jacob Sexton has a lot of potential. Fabechi Wiwu was probably the offensive lineman that stood out the most. Michael Tarquin brings a lot of experience. That first group looks good, but outside of that first group, it didn't look great. That second offensive line group really, really struggled. And I think it's clear this group desperately needs depth, especially with Troy Everett getting hurt early in the spring. So you bring a guy in like Hickman, who has a ton of experience under his belt. I mean, he was probably the most targeted offensive lineman in general in the portal, let alone at center. So now you bring him into the mix, and he's a guy that not only can contend for a starting spot, he might very well end up being the starter. But now, at the very least, you just add depth there, because even though Josh Bates looked good, that was one of the things somebody reached out to me and was like, well, so Josh Bates did a really good job sliding over to center, and now he's going to be a backup. And it's like, you can't look at things like that. Like, you can't. It's clear that this offensive line just needs depth and experience. And Josh Bates can still win out that job. He absolutely can. But you bring in a guy like Hickman, and all of a sudden you feel a little bit better about that offensive line in general, and especially that center spot. And then the other guy is Jermaine Lowell, who if there were two things, as much as I thought Grayson Halton looked good, and as much as there's excitement about Jaden Jackson and David Stone, what can Dejon Terry do? That defensive line needs, I mean, Brent Venables said the interior defensive line, their lack of experience there is concerning. That's what he said after the game. And outside of Terry, I think they're bringing back like 21 snaps played from last year outside of Dejon Terry. They need guys who can play right away or who can add depth and have experience on the field. Jermaine Lowell is a guy that I think they're excited about. Obviously he's been in college football for a long time. He was in the 2018 class, but he played a ton at Louisville. I don't know if he's going to be a starter. I think Grayson Halton and Dejon Terry are going to be your day one starters, but Lowell adds depth. He adds experience. That's exactly what Oklahoma needs. And to get those guys so soon after the spring game those were big pickups.
Yeah, and the biggest thing with Lowell and Hickman is that they're going to push the unit, right? As you said, Grayson Halton, after the spring game, it might have looked like, oh, he's the runaway starter. You drop in Jermaine Lowell, and next thing you know, there's a competition. But competition is good. It is a very short-sighted point of view when you say, oh, is he going to leave now because of this? Is Joshua Bates going to get mad over this? No, they shouldn't, because competition is good, and OU fans need to understand this type of depth is incredible. Branson Hickman, I feel like he will be the starter. I feel pretty confident. Go back and watch some of his film. He is a very good center. I think he will win the job. But as we said, Bates played good. Whether they move him around on the O-line, we don't know. Or if they just drop him to the second unit. Either way, it is a massive plus for that team as a whole, because the offensive line obviously was the biggest question mark after the winter. Coming into the spring game, people are still going to talk about it going into the summer. It's what people are going to keep talking about. What will that offensive line look like when they're faced up against an Alabama or a typical SEC defensive line? It's going to get really interesting. But that's all we have for you today. Like I said, be sure to check us out, Mulling It Over, Spotify, Apple, and YouTube. Jesse, thank you so much for being here. As we discussed, the fans get to decide. Be sure to drop a comment. If there's at least three people who say yes, Jesse will get a pelican on his tattoo or on his forehead, pelican tattoo on his forehead if the Thunder lose tonight. Agreed, Jesse?
You're boxing me into a corner. Now you're telling a wager I didn't agree to. Now only three people have to say, oh, man. I am. What did I sign up for when I agreed to do that?
You'll quickly see Blake Mullen, not Blake Mullen, and Malik Bullen in the YouTube comment section all agreeing this.
No, I appreciate you having me on, man. This was great.
Thank you so much, everybody, for listening. Peace out, everybody.